Just a few thoughts from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I'm reading from the New King James Version. John 14, verse 15, the Lord Jesus is speaking. And this all took place the night of his betrayal, what he says here in the upper room. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then in John chapter 20, verse 19, this is the day of the resurrection, 3 days later. John 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. We'll stop there. We have been thinking much about what has happened in the book of Romans, and especially in chapter 8, for us to consider the Spirit of God in the life of the believer has changed everything. It is the difference, really, between being an unbeliever and being a believer. God has entered into you in his Holy Spirit. At the moment you trusted in Christ. And this, of course, means the world. It means everything for you and for me. The Lord Jesus wanted his disciples to know this before he went to the cross. As the good shepherd who was about to lay down his life for the sheep, he wanted them to have their fears removed. And he told them things that he was going to do for them in order to help them when he left. When he went to the cross, of course, they didn't quite understand what was happening. They forgot his words that he had already said numerous times that he was going to go to Jerusalem, and the leadership there was going to condemn him to death, and they would kill him. They would crucify him, but he would rise 3 days later. Every time he told them, he said, but he would rise 3 days later. And in this last gospel, the Gospel of John, he goes into much detail with them in that upper room. We have so much here that is not found anywhere else in the scriptures. He gives them in confidence a lot of information. And he says, "I'm not going to leave you to be orphans. I've been with you for three or so years, and I'm about to leave, go to the cross, but I'm going to send someone else, a helper, one alongside you, a comforter, not just alongside you. He's going to be in you." That's even better than, if I may say it this way, the Lord Jesus's physical body and the presence of him with them while he walked with them for 3 years. This was even better because he was going to be in them permanently. What a strange thing God was going to do. What a work he was going to do. What a unique thing he was going to do. And I may add, it's only unique for this time period. This is not going to be for the entire future history of mankind. It is only for believers during this time that this is true, that the Spirit of God is indwelling you. And this Spirit is what makes us adopted. We are adopted into God's family. And that's why we can cry, Abba, Father. We can call him our Father because of the Spirit of truth. There are many truths in this, but this is the foretelling of what the Lord is going to do for you and I. Now, we come to John's Gospel at the chapter 20, and we read that, where on that first day, there was a lot of events that took place in which the Lord appeared to various ones. And it's interesting to sketch, you know, when the timing, the chronological order, somewhat difficult to figure it out, but it is possible. If we take all four Gospels, we can kind of figure out when this took place. This is one of the last appearances that first day. It's in the evening. It's actually prior to those two from the road of Emmaus running back to Jerusalem that this takes place. And there they are, afraid. Thomas isn't with them. Judas had committed suicide. So there's probably only 10 of them. And they're in that room. And suddenly we read, the Lord is there with them. He's in the midst. In that evening, the first day of the week, the resurrection day, the Lord's day, when the doors were shut, how could this be? He suddenly is in their midst. He's right there. They can't miss him. Imagine if they were standing in a circle and he's suddenly right there. And he says to them, peace be with you. And he repeats that. But he first wants them to see, it is really me. It is really me. The reports you heard from the women earlier in the day, what Peter told you, because I met with him privately, it's all true. It's really me. Look at the wounds in my hands and in my side. And he shows them that. And they were glad. They saw the Lord. They're a witness to it. John says later in this gospel, I was a witness, and my witness is true. I saw the Lord in his resurrection. But he does something else here. You know, there are these very odd things that happen sometimes, and if you enjoy reading commentaries, you run to these passages and you say, well, I wonder what so-and-so says about this and so-and-so says about that. And if you run to commentaries and you come to John 20, verse 21, it's kind of skipped over. It's like, oops, this is a little unexpected. Many don't talk about what happened here. We know what happened in Acts 2, the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit came down and filled that house, that upper room where they were, and filled each believer with tongues of fire. We know that they spoke foreign languages, and we may just glance at that in another minute, languages that they never had the gift to speak before. They didn't take any language course, but all of a sudden, by the power of the Spirit of God that is now indwelling them, the curse of languages is removed, and they can speak the glories of God and who Christ is risen to all the hearers that were there for the Feast of Pentecost, from all around the world, those Jews that came to celebrate that feast. And they would hear these men, these unlearned people, speaking not only their language, but their dialect. We know that event, and we often say that's the fulfillment of John chapter 14. So what's this? What happened here in John 20? When the Lord just took this inner circle perhaps just 10 of them. We're not given the number. And he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he breathes on them. This breath, it's coming from the Lord Jesus. The Spirit is coming from him. He is the dispenser of the Spirit of God here. And he's giving them the Spirit of God to be received. He breathes on them. And then it says, he gives them some authority. Whatever they forgive here on earth is forgiven in heaven. Whatever they do not forgive here on earth is not forgiven in heaven. Very unusual. Well, I want to just suggest something here for a blessing. There are these glimpses in Scripture of what God gives a foretaste of. And he did not want these few to have to wait to Pentecost to see this and experience it. He gave them, like Peter, James, and John, a foretaste of his glory of the kingdom on that Mount of Transfiguration. He gave them a glimpse of seeing the kingdom by seeing the king, by experiencing that transformation that the Lord Jesus did in front of them, where his garment turned so white and he glowed that it was brighter than a noonday sun. And Peter would not know what to say in the presence of the Lord at that moment. But that's not fulfilled yet. Why are they experiencing that? He's giving them a foretaste. Likewise, I would suggest to you that here in John, it's only recorded in this gospel, the Lord Jesus is giving these few what he's going to do 40 days, 50 days later. What he's going to do 50 days later, he gives them a little taste of it. He says, I'm going to give you authority, which he has given to the assembly, to judge sin, to take care of sin on the earth during this time period, with the Holy Spirit and his power indwelling you. I'm giving you a foretaste. And so these 10, they were there in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. They were all part of that experience, but they had a little foretaste of it. They were the only ones. And here's a little exhortation to you. One of the 12 missed that meeting. He wasn't there. And the Lord, we never read in Scripture, the Lord ever repeated this between that resurrection day and 50 days later on the day of Pentecost. He never repeated what took place here. Thomas, the twin, apparently was a twin, he missed the meeting. He missed the Spirit of God being given, received by those that were there in this unique way. He was going to have to wait. They had the blessing of the experience. Now, we're not told that when they received the Spirit here, that the Spirit remained with them for those next 50 days. We're not told that. We're not told anything other than they had this little foretaste, this little glimpse, like the Mount of Transfiguration. But what a blessing to experience, to see what God is going to do 50 days later. And he told them, look, you remain in Jerusalem. Just stay here until I'm going to give you power from on high. Well, didn't we just receive it that first day? No, I'm going to do this for all my disciples. And he did that on the day of Pentecost. So may we be encouraged to recognize that during this time period, the Lord foreshadowed it with a few in John chapter 20. He fulfilled it in Acts 2 with all the disciples that were there in the upper room, 120 of them. And he began to build his church on that day. And may we also be not like Thomas, who not only missed the meeting and had to wait, because when you miss the meeting, you can never make that up. You missed it. There are things that may be blessings that you could have received if being there that you missed. May we not be like that. May we make an effort to be with the others when they gather together unto the Lord's name. And may we also be encouraged to know that the Lord intended fully in this time period, this dispensation, we use that expression, that we would have the Spirit of God indwelling us. And that makes all the difference between us and those that have no faith. We have the Spirit of God in us because the Lord has given us that Spirit. And that Spirit will change our lives. He will mold us to be more like His Son. He will guide us. He will lead us. He will reveal the truth in the Scriptures to us. We can understand the Scriptures now because we have the Spirit of God. He'll lead us in all truth. And He will be a participant in our resurrection. We will be quickened by that Spirit on that resurrection day. It's all because of what God has done for us. In a future dispensation, the Spirit of God will come upon people, but not necessarily indwell them like we have. And we have that blessing now, beloved. We need it because we're in a very dark day. We're in a very dark day. We're in the day of Jesus's rejection. And as one sister wrote, we're in the last of the last days. So may the Lord encourage us. May He help us to follow Him, knowing He gives these little foretastes, before He actually does the final accomplished work. Amen.